invitations and you'll still be responding to me, but I may not be on all of them. It's going to be hard for me not to be on them because I really enjoy them. So that's the plan. We'll see what happens. So I want to just say thank you to Tali and Stacy for building this group. And I'm always available to anyone if they need me. And I may just be on next time too, but I'm not sure. So I just wanted to say that. So with that being said, I'm giving it over to Tali.
Great. I think it started recording. So we will now be recording just the audio version so that people can listen to it if they didn't make it on the call. And as Lisa said, feel free to use the chat. It looks like Abby is having a hard time with her mic, so she'll chat. She'll ask questions via the chat. I will try to keep up with all the admin side and keep everyone. And I will mute you if there's some background noise. I'll just mute you and you can unmute yourself when you want to speak. So let me see if I forgot anything else. Here's one more person, and then I'll hand it over to Stacy, and then we'll get started with Jeremy.
All right, great. Is there anyone new on this call who was not on any of the other calls and would like to introduce themselves? Okay, Melanie and Lene.
I'm Melanie Kogelberg.
We can't hear you, Melanie.
Yeah, I can't.
Come closer. Turn up your volume, potentially.
We have an issue.
We hear you now.
Well, that's okay.
Hi, I'm Melanie Cole Goldberg. I'm the new volunteer coordinator here at the JFS Houston with my mentor, Lene Novominski. So I'm so happy to be with everybody.
Welcome. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Emily in Detroit. This is my first time on the call. I am the volunteer services supervisor at JFS in Detroit, as I said.
Welcome. And Lisa Goldberg, I saw you raise your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm Lisa Goldberg from JFS in Greenwich, and this is the first call I've been able to make. I'm the director of the Jewish Health and Healing Center, but I also coordinate all the volunteers here at JFS.
Cool. Welcome. Anyone else? Oh, yeah. Okay. I see you guys. Go ahead.
I'm Dina Takata.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Dina, do you want to go first?
Sure. I'm Dina Takata. I'm the volunteer services manager at JFNCS in Atlanta.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, guys.
Hi, my name is Catherine Kowalczyk. I am the AmeriCorps director here and in West Palm Beach.
I've been called Donnie Greenblatt, who I direct the Enhanced Companion Program here in Outward Jewish Family Service in West Palm Beach, Florida.
And I'm Belinda Maxey. I direct a number of our other volunteer programs, too. We've got a big team here.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Welcome. Anyone else who, I know there are a couple people who just joined. Anyone else who's new? I know.
Hi, I'm Lindsay from JFS Clifton. Can you hear me?
Welcome.
Yes, we hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, I have sick kids at home, so I'm actually doing this from my home, but I hope that I'm going to mute myself so no one can hear me.
Thank you. Yeah, no problem. Welcome. Anyone else who just joined who hasn't been on before?
Let's see, how do I mute?
Okay, guys. All right. So I'm just pulling up Jeremy's little blurb. He's going to talk. He's the volunteer coordinator of the Harvey Kornblum Jewish Food Pantry at JFS St. Louis. Do you want to talk about yourself, Jeremy, and just do an intro for yourself, and then you can just jump right into it?
Sure thing. So, I started off, I was an AmeriCorps member over in Kansas City in 2014, and I've been in the nonprofit world ever since. I've been working with volunteers now for the past 4 years, and I have been at JFS St. Louis now for 3 and serving as the volunteer coordinator now for over 6 months. What I'm going to be talking about today is something really cool that we've done over here with the creation of our volunteer advisory group. It has been just a very valuable resource, really helpful for decision making, and I'm just going to take it from here. This is also my first time doing this, so please bear with me. What I plan on doing is stopping at each slide. We can really kind of pause, and if not, we can just go from there if there's no questions, but I'm happy to stop, chat about anything that might come up. Okay, so let's hope I do this right.
Okay.
And can I get like a thumbs up if this worked? Okay, fantastic. So, so really what we decided was in early 2019, Chelsea, who had been the volunteer coordinator at the time, and I was serving as the volunteer specialist here at JFS, we knew we wanted to make some changes to how we engage volunteers and really help them support us in decision-making and collaboration. So the goal of the team is we really wanted to have them provide recommendations, suggestions, and advice to enhance the volunteer program as a whole, but really with the emphasis focusing on the Jewish food pantry. For context, here at the food pantry, we have about 200 or so regularly scheduled volunteers. We also have episodic groups, ongoing groups, short-term individuals. So that's what we have here. And the reasons why we wanted to do this is we knew that with the volume of volunteers that we had, we knew that there were some great people that were looking for a more meaningful way to engage with the food pantry. So we have a wonderfully talented workforce and we have our regularly assigned positions, but we knew that there were folks who wanted to contribute in ways that simply didn't exist. Another reason why we wanted to do this is we've been really focusing on the overall volunteer culture at the food pantry. And we really wanted to engage the volunteers and collaborate with them to address this issue. One thing that we noticed is when we used to make decisions for the program, we would think the volunteers want this. This is a change that will help the food pantry as a whole. And we noticed that there would be lots of unintended consequences for what we thought might work best for the program. There were things that we didn't think about how they would impact volunteers. So we thought with the establishment of a group to run ideas based off of, we would come to avoid some of those hiccups when we would implement some policies down the road. So just a great group of people to run ideas off of. And like I said before, our volunteer workforce has former executive directors and doctors, attorneys, lawyers, and people with all these wonderful skills. It was just about time that we really utilized the perspectives that they were bringing to the table. So that was what really brought about the creation of this group. So who makes up this group? We started with 10 members when we initially created this group. We did add more, two more in 2020 to the team, just so we could bring some new fresh perspectives to the table. And we were asking volunteers to join for a multitude of reasons, but there were a couple criteria that we had identified as being important. We wanted folks that were committed to the mission. We wanted folks that had really gone above and beyond their regular volunteer responsibilities. Frankly, in this line of work, we're so thrilled that people give us this commitment to be here on a regularly scheduled basis and to cover all these jobs that we really need done for to ensure our operation. But we did notice that there were folks that were picking up extra shifts, really going above and beyond and engaging with JFS in a really meaningful way. And we knew that these are special folks who really want to contribute in a really deep and meaningful way. These are folks that have attended optional trainings that really wasn't expected. People that have come up with really great ideas to enhance our program delivery. So if people are providing wonderful suggestions anyway, we might as well bring them to the table just so they can contribute in a more structured environment. People with certain skills, be it event planning or finance backgrounds, or people we know just know folks all throughout the Jewish community here in St. Louis. We really wanted to tap into those resources. And then also importantly, we wanted to make sure that our group wouldn't be homogenous. We wanted to make sure that there was a diversity of opinion, diversity of roles. So here at the food pantry, we have three primary roles. We have folks that shop with the clients that come in. We have folks that sort food, and then we also have folks that work in registration, and we wanted to make sure that all the different roles would be reflected on this committee, and we didn't want it just to be volunteers who've been doing this forever. We wanted it to be a mix of short and new term volunteers. We wanted to have volunteers across different days just so we could have a more diverse makeup. So before I talk a little bit more about what the group does, I just wanted to kind of pause now and see if this would be a good time to talk about Inception or if any other groups do things similar like this.
Well, I guess people from the affinity group should talk before I say something. Does anyone have any questions or thoughts?
I just think this is a great idea in general, and I'm really looking forward to hear more about your experience with implementing this.
I have a question. Do you, you've added two more people to your initial group of 10. Do you have a number that you want to be your final number, or?
Right now, I think this is kind of the sweet spot. The truth of the matter is that if we identify individuals that can contribute and fit into our mission and culture, I don't think we'll exclude anyone. This is something that the way that, and you'll see how this is kind of transformed from in-person meetings on a rigid basis to being more of a, sometimes just conversationally via email. So the more perspectives that we can bring to the table, especially if they're the right type of person for this, maybe it would get to that point, but right now, since it's so much in its infancy, I think we would take more folks without
Jeremy,
that.
Could I ask another question?
Sure.
You mentioned that there had been some, in the past, there had been some hiccups when you tried to implement changes in process or procedure. So was that part of the reason for implementing the advisory group? Was that part of the genesis of the group to try to avoid future problems?
Definitely. It's so hard sometimes when, especially here, and I'm sure everywhere, there's so many different dimensions to things that you can't possibly consider all of them. By bringing so many different folks who do all the different roles here at the food pantry, it was a lot easier to identify potential problem areas down the road. So yes, that was certainly a big component as to why we brought this group together.
And I'm thinking in a different way that what about those people? Do you want any of them for the board, for your board of directors? Like, how do you determine that they're good for your advisory board and or advisory committee and not for your full agency board? Are you looking to raise money or just to get ideas?
So how this group started and the focus and our goals certainly have evolved over time. It was really to get that perspective that we were simply not including in the conversation. We had a small staff team that worked with volunteers, and we thought if we have all these things that impact volunteers, the volunteers need to have a voice in some capacity. So that's why it really started. As to long-term potential and long-term goals, you'll see kind of through the presentation how this team has become a little bit more strategic. Right now, I think because we're still so new at this, we're going to figure out how this plays into the greater organization down the road. But right now, this is just a group really that's dedicated specifically to supporting the volunteer program.
And Jeremy, in your food pantry, are clients allowed to come in and shop or volunteers are helping them shop or volunteers are going to the pantry based on needs that they've presented? In our food pantry, we try to assess what somebody needs and then the staff pulls together their pantry bag. So it sounds as though you utilize volunteers in ways that we don't. So I'd love to hear more about that too.
Sure. So our food pantry, when folks pick up food here at the food pantry, we do a combination of having folks, if they have made an appointment with us, so we offer 7 appointments every half hour. If folks had an appointment, they will go on back and be escorted by a volunteer, but they'll be the ones making their own choices. However, we understand for the people we serve, they may not have regular schedules or commit to those appointments. In that case, a volunteer will pack their groceries in real time. So we'll pack it for them, let them know when it's ready, then they'll pick it up. So it's a combination of the both.
I also just want to jump in and read from the chat. Karen, it's Karen Farrow in Sarasota said she also has a volunteer advisory committee with a representative from each department. So 19 volunteers, they provide feedback on what happens in their department as well as identify improvements and gaps in service to enhance the programs.
Okay. Go back to your, it's time for your presentation.
Yep, sounds good. All righty.
Was that Karen who said that? Yeah, you guys have a lot of volunteers. It's amazing. You can't talk. Next time, maybe you'll say something.
It's working now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Terrific. So you'll tell us next after the next break.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So as I talked about, this committee, we began in 2019, and the initial role was to really come in with focus agendas and a pretty narrow focus. When you have a group like this, we weren't at that point where we could just not have that structure. We felt that it was important to set the tone, let everyone meet each other, do some team building so we can get comfortable sharing ideas, make sure people knew that this was an environment that there would be trust. We want to make sure that their honesty was going to be a priority, and we wanted to encourage volunteers that this is a place that what is said here would stay with us, and they could feel safe talking about policies that they might felt uncomfortable with or issues that they've had with the greater program. So I think that it was very important for us to set that tone, let people know each other. A lot of folks didn't know each other, so it was very important that we all got comfortable together. And then what we really did was we wanted to identify what this group was able to do and how we can best do that. So the first thing that we did, and I know that this was explained a little bit in the email, was this was very important for our annual survey development and then the subsequent analysis. So the group was really instrumental in looking at past surveys. We just sent out 3 years worth of surveys via email, went through it, they did their homework, what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, should we ask it this way? Is it even necessary to ask this question? But we really talked in big terms, like, what do we want to know? If we want to see if this program is successful, if we want to know if the volunteers are enjoying their experience, if they're getting meaning from it, what are the questions that we should ask? And at the same time, things like, how should we ask the survey? Should it be done online? Should it be done on paper when they're here? There were lots of little things that we needed to think about. And if we didn't have that group of 10 people, I think we would have came up with an idea that sounded good to us, convenient for us, and that's what we would have done. So it was really instrumental in doing a survey, and I believe we had the largest percentage of responses for 2019 survey than in years past. And then on the other hand, it was very important. Go ahead.
Could you share that survey with us, and we can put it in the resource library if other people want to look at it?
Yep. Let me go ahead and make a note, and I will be sending that over to you.
That would be terrific, and we can tailor it potentially to our own agencies and needs.
Sure thing. All righty. Yep. And yep, on the back end of it, it was so, for me, it was really meaningful to let some volunteers take part in this process. And I think it gave them a sense of ownership and accountability to look at the program in general, see what the strengths of the program were, see what the problems that people had were. I know that some things that came up were that people overall would recommend this to a friend and they find meaning in it, but something that they felt uncomfortable with was either asking questions or making suggestions. And it's just really, for me, important that volunteers can maybe give us perspective as to why they feel that way, or what are some things that, some blind spots that maybe that we have, so that we can, as staff, maybe address those behaviors that we're doing and tailor it to a way that makes it a more welcoming place for our volunteers. Other things that this group initially did in the first few months is talk about training opportunities. The way we've done trainings previously is we had our ideas for training. We train the shoppers, we train the sorters. Every year we kind of rehash those trainings. And our volunteers wanted something a little bit different. They wanted a little bit more. And they were really instrumental in helping us come up with some great ideas. Our registration volunteers, a lot of times they meet with people using a food pantry for the very first time. And there's a lot that a person in crisis might be going through. And I think that a lot of folks had identified a need for mental health first aid, providing resources for suicide prevention if someone exhibited potential we do ask about mental health. Here at JFS St. Louis, we do have mental health providers. So it's very important for us if people need those resources that we can provide those referrals. But I think our volunteers needed a little bit more confidence and a little bit more skill dealing with potentially tricky situations. So these are things that they suggested, and we brought in a wonderful team to do some mental health first aid training. And then also a very important part of it is one thing that I knew is I certainly had my biases and my expectations for how volunteers want to be appreciated. And hearing from a whole group of other volunteers about what appreciation does for them was really cool to hear. One of the things that we've always done and will continue to do is we do a volunteer luncheon annually. And I don't know if it's just this group of people on our committee or if it's a larger thing, but many people said that they wish that we'd spend this money on food for the food pantry. So it's so funny because the way we do appreciation is always structured that way. And that's not to say we shouldn't do a luncheon, but how are some things that we can recognize volunteers as part of our day-to-day operation that aren't so big and grandiose, but they could really appreciate and let them know that they're a meaningful part of what we do. So it's been really helpful for me. I had an idea for an appreciation event and it was consensus. They said it was a bad one. And it was very good that they let me know, so we didn't do that Sunday brunch idea because they didn't want to give me their weekend. So it just goes to show you, sometimes you think you have a great idea, but it takes trust.
We always think we have great ideas.
Always. But that one in particular, it was very refreshing for me to know that I had a group of people that could unanimously oppose me. And that's how I knew we had something special.
That's right.
Yep. So I'm just going to go on to the next part so we can kind of talk about the transformation. And then I think we can pause after that, and that would lead to some good conversations. So let me just move on to the next slide about how we've really been able to transform this. And as I alluded to earlier, we've really tried to make this group a bit more strategic. And as we've continued to meet and as I continue to talk to this wonderful group of people, I just wanted to tap into their skills and their strengths to figure out how we can best grow this program. So something that we've talked about a lot is how we can up our recruitment. And we've really worked together to come up with recruitment ideas. With the help of this committee in February, we're doing a Bring Your Friend to Volunteer Week. We have lots of short-term opportunities here that don't require the same screenings for our ongoing volunteers. So plenty of opportunities to sort products or stock our shelves. You're not gonna be able to work directly with our clients, but there's still plenty of ways to contribute. And I'm happy to provide tours and have plenty of volunteer applications handy in case people are interested in the program. But these are all things that I've been able to come up with alongside our committee. Something we've been talking about a lot with the start of the new year, what are our goals for our year? How do we want to look at previous recruitment numbers, look at our retention rate, and really find ways to grow those metrics so that we're having a successful year? And the other thing that's kind of happened as a result of this committee is I noticed that the individual members are taking on a little bit more responsibilities. So I had two members of the committee join me at college fairs. We went to recruitment events at two universities locally. Committee members helped me with that. It was very, very helpful. And I'm sure all of us have gone to those things before in the summer heat. It's really nice to have someone to spell you. And the other thing that they do now is if we have short-term groups or if I just need a second set of hands for a project, this is a group of folks that are willing and able to go ahead and help us with that. So it's been really nice. And the other thing is if I have new volunteers coming in, these are folks that are wonderful at training them, welcoming them, and really feeling like they're a part of the organization. So it's really nice knowing that if I have someone starting brand new, I know that there are folks that will take them under their wing and provide a really welcoming orientation experience.
Jeremy, I'm curious, you alluded to the fact that you don't, or you maybe do have consistent meetings, but that how you've received feedback over time has changed. So I'd love to hear kind of what the commitment is for those committee members now or how it's evolved and how sure. often you meet.
So initially it was once a month, and I think that started to put a little bit too much pressure on people. I will say that those formative meetings in the beginning were really important for relationship building and really setting the tone for the year. But as we've gotten more comfortable at communicating via email, at communicating kind of one-on-one when folks are volunteering, we have moved more towards quarterly meetings. In 2020, the goal is for quarterly meetings. And then everyone knows my door is always open, whether you're part of this group or otherwise. So,
yeah. Karen, do you want to say what you had written? Now that you can talk, wherever you are, there you are.
I was just wondering what suggestions that you had, that you received from your volunteers about the survey participation, because that's a struggle we have here. And we tried to work with our volunteer advisory committee as well as a consulting firm, and we still do not have better participation yet.
Yeah, so we had about, I think, maybe 38 to 40% respond. And we did it via SurveyMonkey. And truth be told, I think the biggest thing we did was cut it in half. I think that we had so many things we wanted to know, and there were too many open-ended questions. And open-ended questions are great, but if they are so vague that you're not being able to observe trends, that was problematic. So we really try to keep it short and simple. We try to keep it on a scale so that it's just nice and easy to fill out. But for us, there's so much we wanted to know, but I think we really needed to assess what's important for us. And I think we cut the survey by half.
Okay, because we cut ours as well. But I'm wondering, when you did the survey, did you do it all via SurveyMonkey? We did Constant Contact, but we also were told that maybe if we did it next year where we had paper copies in-house as well. Did you do that at all, or was it just all SurveyMonkey?
We explored doing the paper copies, and frankly, if I could do it all over again, I think I would do it. I would probably keep them in maybe the volunteer check-in area with maybe like an anonymous drop box and obviously no names on it. But I mean, just having it accessible for people, we've done for trainings and other certifications, we have had like sign-up sheets right there at that check-in desk. And it's been very effective at getting people to grab our materials. So I think that moving forward in 2020, I might even print some paper copies because there are folks, at least amongst our volunteers, that can't open an attachment. And we're alienating folks right there.
Thank you.
I just know how hard it is to get people, volunteers, to do anything above and beyond. So it seems like creating an advisory committee is a good idea so that, you know, they encourage people to come and to attend, you know, trainings and programs. And, you know, it's more exciting. At least that's the experience, I think, Lisa Goldberg, that we had at JFS of Greenwich. It's hard to get volunteers to come in for trainings and meetings.
It's nice knowing that if we're doing a training or if we've done something and I've already run the ideas off people, it's good knowing that there are like internal cheerleaders within.
Yeah.
And it's nice knowing that there are some folks with that buy-in that could be really hard to get otherwise if they're not kind of consulted.
Have other people had experience with advisory committees besides Karen? Are people thinking about doing them in their agencies? Is that a yes? Jennifer, what do you think? You smiled. What? Yeah.
Dina. I did have one when I worked in with a different organization, not JFNCS, but it worked really well. We met once a month. I had a very diverse group, and it was very helpful. I got lots of information, just like Jeremy, in terms of what they wanted and what they didn't want. So I found it very helpful, and they enjoyed participating. I had someone from one of our corporate partners. We had people who worked in, you know, maybe a friendly visitor. We had just different people that worked in different types of volunteer operations, but having like the corporate partners and everything, that really made for a diverse, well-rounded group, and they enjoyed meeting each other and getting to know each other.
You have something, I was gonna say, Dina, do you think you can do it now at your agency?
You know, we've talked about, we have a volunteer committee that's made up primarily of board members.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working very well because it's, and that's why I wanted to be on this day, because it's a confusion on what's their role. They thought they should only be strategic. And, you know, I found that the volunteer advisory committee, actually made up of volunteers, was more effective than board members who are also volunteers, but it's just a different type of volunteers. And that hasn't been working really well.
Right.
Yeah. So I hope to do it here. That's one of the goals I would like to create, is forget the board committee, but just have the advisory group.
Right. And you can tell them that you heard it was successful, you know, from this call. Melanie or Lene, were you going to say something? Lene, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't had an advisory committee. We do have a board liaison that meets with us, and we talk about our volunteers and what needs are and stuff like that. But in the past, when we tried to host events for our volunteers, they did basically what Jeremy said, put the money into the clients, don't spend the money on us. So to give you an example, we have our annual meeting tonight. That's why I'm dressed up. But we're doing our annual meeting tonight, and we always give our volunteers, I'm reaching over, we always give our volunteers just a small token of our appreciation. We mention them in the script. We ask them to stand and be acknowledged. And for instance, tonight our theme is looking to the future, and it's vision related. So we did screensavers or glasses wipes.
Nice.
And on each of them, it says, thank you for all that you have done to allow us to focus on the future of our clients.
Focus, so, 2020 vision, that's good.
Yeah, so we did that in order to do it. And And our thought is that our volunteers are always very appreciative of the little gift that they get at annual meeting. I don't know how many volunteers we actually have showing. We have about 400, and that includes some of our episodic volunteers. But we'll probably have 75 to 100, maybe a little more tonight. And we currently have an RSVP of about 200. So about half of our audience is going to be volunteers. But I agree, they don't want to come to more meetings. They want to get in. They want to do their volunteer duty. They want to have a meaningful experience, and they want to be out. And so that's our experience.
Well, do you think they want to connect with others?
Most of the volunteers that want to connect with other volunteers, you know, ask their friends to join, and then they volunteer in the same department. But I haven't had a lot of them saying that they want to connect in any other way. We did send out a survey at one point when we were trying to do these socials, and they were literally, they all said, no, I don't want to come spend the money on something else.
Right. Jennifer, do you want to say something? Then Ava, I guess. Okay. And I should stop talking. Tali, you do this. I'll be quiet. So Jennifer, we can't hear you though. What is going on? Why is that? Can you unmute her, Tali, potentially? Is it
Jennifer?
Her?
She's unmuted. So I don't know. Jennifer, if you want to type in the chat, I'm happy to share.
Okay, so then Ava, you talk while she's typing. Ava, can you hear us? Are you frozen now? There you are. Are you unmuted? Ava.
Hello.
You were going to talk. What did you want to say?
Well, two things. One, I wanted to introduce Lisa Katz, who is with me. She is the volunteer coordinator for Family Table, which is our food pantry, where I do volunteer stuff for the rest of the agency. We have a lot of committees, advisory and otherwise, and some of them are board-based committees, and some of them are program-specific. We do have a business advisory committee, and that's focused particularly for our program with individuals with disabilities, and it's how we get employment services for our clients. And we have a basic needs advisory committee where Family Table falls underneath that. And we have our development officers involved with helping to manage our committees so that we can have greater participation, purpose, involvement, activity, et cetera. And that seems to work well for us. And then each event that we run has a committee.
Wow.
So there's a lot of committees going on here in Boston.
Yeah, sounds like it. Dina.
Yeah, actually, we have the same thing. I mean, we just have a lot of committees. We have a young professionals committee for young professional volunteer programming. We have the volunteer committee. We have numerous committees. So similar things, overseeing lots of different areas. Probably too many committees.
Right. Sounds like it could be complicated and say different things and then feel slighted if their idea didn't get, you know, put into action.
Jennifer wanted to speak about this back to the survey topic. So she said she's used both SurveyMonkey and actual paper survey and had very little response with SurveyMonkey. But when they gave out the paper survey the day of the event, they got almost 100% response. So
wow.
Thanks, Jennifer. I had another question for Jeremy or Karen or anyone who's done the volunteer advisory committee is, do you have anything like written as far as what their commitment and expectations are that you could share with us so that we can kind of see what you give to those potential committee recruits? And then how did you recruit people? You may have mentioned at the beginning, is it you contacted people specifically to ask them? Did you ask the, like, what other staff were involved in identifying who should be potential committee members?
So one of my goals for this year is to really have that handbook or guiding document for this group, because that's something that we just didn't do until we really figured out how the parameters of this goal group would be structured. So that's the first thing that I really want to take time to get right.
In Washington, I'm live.
Okay.
I'm going to mute everyone.
Yeah, you can put it in the resource file. And anyone else who has really, you know, interesting kinds of documents that could help any of us, to me, and then we can upload it, and it can be in our volunteer, you know, affinity group resource file. And there are a few things up there now. Every once in a while, I should look, because the more you give me, the more I can put up there, and the more it can grow. So, you know, please do so. Jeremy, did you have more?
No, I think Tali just asked about how we actually brought people together. And we, Chelsea and I at the time, we just talked to people one-on-one while they were in for their shift, asked if it was something they would want to be a part of, talked about how we thought it would be going, talked about how we were thinking about doing monthly meetings. And yeah, they all seemed on board. I think when you see people every week for such long periods of time, we had a pretty good idea of who we thought would fit into this pretty well.
Jeremy, I have a question. When you spoke to people, did you ask everyone, or did you just kind of connect with those people that you thought would be good for the role? Because I could see an issue, at least with my volunteers, if someone wasn't asked, but, you know, kind of felt insulted that they weren't asked. So I wonder if you ran into that.
So we have. The truth of the matter is we haven't really publicized this group all that much. Like, it's not like they have an extra pin or something on their t-shirt to designate them. It's pretty informal. And I think that the people doing this knew that this isn't like, you're not in it for the recognition. it's really something that happens behind the scenes to improve the program. I did have a couple people that heard about this and were upset that they weren't included. I did have to talk to them and just let them know that there were almost only so many seats. But something we're trying to do collectively, whether I have this group or not, is I want to always have an open door, and I always want volunteers to be able to collaborate, whether you're in this group or not. So I made that really clear. I think that there's some people that are going to be upset, and it is unfortunate. But this was really intentional because we wanted to change the culture, and there were some problematic aspects to staff-volunteer relations and how volunteers and clients sometimes interacted. So it was very important for us that we set the tone with this group of really exemplary volunteers.
Terrific.
I also had another question. You said that you went from having a big volunteer luncheon to doing some smaller things. Can you talk about the smaller things that volunteers actually said that they, you know, preferred or appreciate more?
Sure. So we are going to still do the luncheon. I think that's going to be, for many people, a hard thing to break apart from, but there are other ways to do appreciation. And I think that's something that we did last year, that some turnouts were bigger than others, is we've surprisingly had good luck with learning and training opportunities. I mentioned before we had the mental health, the first aid and suicide prevention training. Something that we're trying to do more of here is just be a welcoming place for everyone. That's really the goal for 2019, was how do we become a welcoming place for staff, volunteers, and our clients. So we did have members from Washington University's, I think, a pediatric transgender center talk about LGBTQIA, really how to best engage with people. And for our volunteers, for everyone, there's a lot of learning to be done. So these are just some topics that people suggested to us, and we've had good luck with the turnout, and I think the people that engage with that really get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions for Jeremy? Sorry, Tali. Or want to talk about your own thing that's going on?
I do have one more slide.
Okay, let's hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And this will just wrap it up. It's just the final takeaways. Yeah, so I just wanted just to really bring this full circle and talk about how this was successful. A lot of those unintended consequences, those things that we didn't think about, those were really addressed. And it was really nice knowing that if there was something that we changed in the shopping area, or if there was a way we redid the signs, there were volunteers already there that understood why that change was taking place. So if a volunteer had a question, it was amazing that there were other folks that could answer that question. So it doesn't look like staff was imposing things on the volunteer workforce. If instead a volunteer can say, well, this change is happening because this was the case. So that's been really great. I think that it's just been a really wonderful way to improve communication with our volunteers. I have some awesome members of this community that are former executive directors that are better writers than me, to be completely honest. So it's not uncommon for me to send a draft of a big communication to some of the members of our committee, and they'll take time to edit that, make sure that it's clear, concise, and getting the point across. I mentioned before, it's a great source of folks I can call upon when needed if I need an extra set of hands at a college fair, or if I have a really big group coming in, folks that can help out. Overall decisions have been made better. And it's really nice going into 2020 with good defined goals. And it's just been really, again, nice to use these unique strengths of our volunteers to really think of ways that our program can be enhanced. And that's really it.
Jeremy, thanks for sharing. I had another question from the beginning of your presentation. You talked about, which I thought was so great, to really make sure that the group felt comfortable together, did some team building. So I was just curious, kind of what did that team building look like? I think that's something that's always nice to have ideas on how we can connect people.
Yeah, Chelsea and I, we like cheesy icebreakers, and a lot of the group members do not. But what we really talked about, and the nice thing is that although the group members didn't know each other, really some of them did, some of them didn't, what we had in common was that we all clearly really care about this in our volunteer program. So we really just started off with, what do we want this to be like? How does this program, how do you feel when you volunteer? How should we really build ourselves in a way that we make that experience for everyone? And the fact that you already have this common language to talk about is a pretty special connector, in my opinion. So that was really a strong foundation already in place. Even if you have strangers, that common thread is a really strong one.
I'm going to unmute everyone, so feel free to mute yourself if you don't want to talk, but we'd love for people to ask more questions or share other experiences. Anyone?
I was going to say.
Melanie and Lene? Nope, not raising your hand. Okay.
You're listening.
I was going to say, or if anyone has any other kind of something innovative that they've done that they think that we could all benefit from. You know, we'd love to hear it. Like, I love that little, so simple, whatever it was. I love eyeglass cleaners. I wear eyeglasses and focus. We're focused on you, or you focus on our volunteers, or whatever you said. That's good. Anything that could help us, that would be wonderful. Yeah, you've got something to say.
Honestly, I'm really just observing again today. I'm kind of new to this agency and sort of in the middle of building all of my volunteer programs here, one of which is, well, we have a local rabbi who is working towards creating a local kosher food pantry. So that is one of the things that I was really excited to get on here and learn about today, because we're going to be helping him to mobilize volunteers. So Jeremy, at some point, if we could connect, you know, off the grid, just talk a little bit more about it. I would love that.
Awesome.
Is anyone on this call going to the annual conference in May? May 3rd to the 5th? Oh, okay, Lindsay's going. Great. I'll look forward to seeing you. Meeting you. And anyone here who doesn't have a camera, you know, we had $10,000 worth of money for cameras, and we don't have it anymore, but I think they're like $25, if that. How much are they, Lisa? Do you know, Lisa Goldberg? Not that much. And
yeah, they're about that. They're not much.
It would be great if your agencies would buy them for you so that we can see you next time, because it's great to be able to see each other and connect, I think.
Donnie, Catherine, and can't remember who else is on.
Linda.
Yeah,
that's me.
Jump in.
Catherine had to step out for a moment. But it's interesting that we're talking a little bit here about volunteer appreciations, because we're planning to do ours during National Volunteer Appreciation Week, which is the middle of April. We found the day that's not Yom HaShoah. We found the day that's not one of our other programs. And I'm curious, like, do other other agencies focus on that, on Volunteer Appreciation Week, or do you do it all throughout the year?
We focus on Volunteer Appreciation. We do a brunch every year around Volunteer Appreciation Week. Not necessarily that week, but some time around there.
We do monthly volunteer appreciation events, and then our annual brunch, and then our Volunteer of the Year awards, and then Volunteer Appreciation Week.
That's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
Do you have a lot of people attending if you do something monthly? Do you have a lot of people each month?
We have, all the seats are always filled, but it can be, we have donors that'll donate a luncheon to us, or they'll donate tickets to events. So sometimes, like this month, I have circus tickets, so there's 60 volunteers going. Last month, it was a luncheon, so there was lunch for 20. So the first 20 to respond, or the first 60 to respond, attend.
Every month? What else do you do?
For the other events, or just in general?
The other monthly events.
So there are tickets to plays, to concerts, there's lunches, there's meals. I do, once a week I take out a volunteer on GFCS, where we take out a volunteer and I touch base with them and take them to eat. But the monthly appreciation is just all sponsored every time, except for our annual, when we do our Volunteer of the Year awards. We do, last year we did a big picnic out at a park with karaoke, and we had where they could bring their family members, and we provided a meal, and we provided awards. Every year we provide about 20 awards to the volunteers. And then this year we are having an event at the circus where there's different foods, celebrity chefs in the area, and there's food, beer, and wine, and then it's unlimited food, beer, and wine. They come in, and then they're circus entertainers.
My goodness, we all want to move to Sarasota and volunteer.
That's amazing.
It's like a radio show. You just have to be the first 20 to call in.
Yeah, right.
I'm ready.
Does your development team reach out to donors about helping, or is that all you?
No, I attend a lot of marketing events, and I do a lot of community outreach. I do speaking engagements. I do the regular recruitment, training, retention, interviews, screenings with the volunteers. I'm a one-person department, so it's a lot of work, but I also do our book drive, our backpack drive, our adopt a family, our homeless veteran stand down, our family fun and health day.
So
it's very busy.
Super busy. Maybe you're the one who's talking to us next time. We can all get ideas. I'm listening to people talking about awards, and I wonder what awards people give out. Like, you give out 20. What are the different titles?
I'd have to bring up the list because they're specific Jewish titled awards.
Bring them up and let's put them in the resource library. What could be better? I mean, we could all come up with whatever those 20 awards are.
Yeah, sure.
That would be great. You see, people think they don't really have anything. We had to sort of call her out, and you know, she had so much to offer, like all of you do, I'm sure. So very exciting.
I'd like to hear more about the Adopt a Family. I've had someone approach me and she'd like to adopt a family and then find other people to do so as well. So I'm just talking to her and other people about how we're structuring that. So I'd love to hear what you're doing.
So the Adopt a Family, I do Adopt a Family and Adopt a Senior. We have 100 seniors that don't have family close by. So I have them adopted out for the holidays, and then children in our programs. I had 306 children to adopt out this year. And I reach out to my volunteers, our regular donors. We put something in the paper. We put stuff on social media, on Facebook. And then we try to reach out to our own network. And I had 306 children adopted. And what we do is we provide a first name only, gender, age, their pant size, shirt size, shoe size, and then their top three wish list items. And most of the donors will purchase everything on the list for the families. Their clothes, shoes, and their top three wish list items. We had laptops, we had TVs, we had bicycles. We had pretty generous donors. And then they also purchase a gift card for food for the parents as well.
Wow.
And then for the seniors, we do little gift bags, and it'll have gift cards for Walgreens, stamps, stationery, just different things like that. No skid socks.
So the donor doesn't ever meet the person they're adopting?
If the family is okay with not staying anonymous, then I do. I have one gentleman that comes in every year as an example, and he brings three generations of his family, his children and his parents and his wife. They all come in and they meet the family in person, and they deliver the gifts to them, and they get to open them in front of them. It's really neat. Mm-hmm. And same thing for our book drive. For the book drive, we bring in over 4,000 books every year, and it goes out to the police departments, the hospitals, the Title I schools, the children in our programs, all different organizations. We take those books and provide them. And I do a family fun and health day where the kids come out and they have free kids yoga. They have a free meal. They do different healthy activities while they're there. They do science. They have face painting. And while they're there, they get to pick out their books too. And so the donors that donated the books are invited so they can meet the children and see who is picking out the books and where their donations are going as well.
Wow. Was Karen the one who said she had 19 programs on our survey and she could talk about them to us? Was that you?
Karen, yes, I do have 19 programs.
Yeah. So I think maybe we could highlight you and not just talk about the programs, but how you do them. Because it's one thing to say I have a book drive and we have 4,000 books. It's not so simple. I mean, there's a lot of steps to create that. And then how do you distribute it? I mean, it's amazing because it's, you have to have a team behind you to, in order to get all of this done, I imagine. Even though you're a one-person show, you must have some help.
A lot of help from volunteers. I have volunteers that go out and solicit donations for my events, that do event planning, that help with decorations. I have volunteers that do the admin, volunteers that work with the seniors, the children, the veterans. And I have volunteers that just come into my office once a week to just say, how can I help you? Because they know I have so much on my plate. And then something new that I started,
Tell us.
No?
Yeah. Tell us next time, because we have to end because it's almost two. You have so much going on. We're going to talk with you about potentially presenting. Would that be interesting for everyone, I think, to hear about all these different programs? Yeah, that's a big yes. So we'll talk with you. But Stacy, did you want to talk about next time and what's going on?
Yeah, so thank you everyone who answered the survey. It was really helpful for us. It looks like the number one topic that you guys want to hear more about is volunteers working with seniors in their homes. And then the other two were specific volunteer populations and finding opportunities, as well as creating buy-in from your agency. So we'll kind of be reaching out to everyone to see if anyone wants to speak about these topics. And of course, reaching out to Karen, because you all seem to be really interested in what she has to say. And then our next call, we will have someone from Sterling talking about some background checks. And Tali, you can probably speak more about what she will be talking about. It's kind of new for me. So, but she'll be speaking about that. And yeah, thank you, Jeremy, for speaking. It was awesome to hear about what you were doing. It's very new to me, so thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you all for sharing. And we'll send more information out about the March 11th presentation from Sterling Screening Volunteers.
It's only going to be
thanks, everyone.
Then we'll have time to talk too.
Yeah.
Right. So thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Thank you, Jeremy. Jennifer, you're going to stay on.
Thank you.
Help you. Tali, Stacy, did you want to say anything either?
I just want to make sure I did it correctly. So if everyone gets off, I'll ask you.
It says it's still recording, so.
Oh,